I can't remember a time in my life where someone hasn't hated me. From a young child, I was labelled too loud, too wild, too much. Somehow, despite it all, it has never fazed me. Don't get me wrong, of course at times my ego has a pity party, but it's always been short-lived and the judgment of others has only fueled me to be even louder. I've survived childhood abuse, eating disorders, heartache, homelessness, substance abuse, and everything in between. Join me as I dive into it all and hopefully my rambles can encourage you to be your most outspoken self. Let's get controversial together. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Outspoken with a Controversial Queen. I'm under pressure this afternoon to get this one out. It's 1:05 as I'm recording this and I have to leave my house latest 2:10. So no pressure for me to not make any mistakes on this one. Today I wanted to, welcome to another episode, by the way. I think we're up to episode number 5. I'm really proud of myself for getting them out and about on time so far. Anyway, today I wanted to touch on birth trauma. So in these lead ups, like I said, I wanted to dive into some of the bigger things that I've spoken about, allowing, you know, you guys to get to know me and new people to get to know me. And it's funny because there are people that have followed me for quite some time and they're messaging me now going, wow, like I feel there's so much more to you, you know, which there is. We all know, you know, you see a 1 minute video of somebody having a rant, like there's always so much more to them. So this is just diving in to really let everyone get a flow that I'm actually not, I'm outspoken and I'm a bit of a fucking hothead and a bit of a psychopath, but I'm not always just a really angry psycho cunt, which some people perceive me as. But anyway, so I wanted to dive into birth trauma and I've spoken about this briefly. I had to have surgery. Some of you started following me because of that journey and have come along with that. And I haven't done a proper follow-up on that one yet. And I don't know where this episode is going to swing to today and how far into it, but this is really dipping my toes into it. I definitely want to come back and talk about birth trauma again in a very planned out manner. I'd like to have a few mums come and share their experiences because it's not a common conversation to have. And a lot of women don't even understand that they've had this birth trauma and they don't know how to, you know, associate their feelings and they feel, you know, invalidated with what they went through. So I really would like to come back later and have some mums that I know that have been through birth trauma come and speak and, you know, maybe even look into having a doula come and have a conversation as well. So if there's anything after this episode that you really want me to dive into in particular, again, like I've said in previous ones, you know, leave a comment, let me know, reach out because I would like to, I want this to be of value, you know, not just hearing somebody's stories. I want you to take things home from this. So anyway, I wrote this blog quite a few years ago and it's when I just first started talking about, you know, issues that I'd had in my birth. So I hadn't really made anything public about that. So this was written a few years ago. It's up on my website, but I thought I'd start off with reading that and then we'll see what comes from that. So until last year, obviously this was years ago, so however many years ago, I had no idea the concept of widespread birth abuse and birth trauma was a thing and had felt totally alone in my feelings surrounding my experiences. I'd like to share my story to shine light on how common this is and how the mainstream birthing system desperately needs a complete overhaul. In the lead up to the birth of my eldest son, the thought of allowing myself to be so vulnerable, naked in a room full of strangers, petrified me. Secretly, the thought of birthing a boy made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. It seems in every stage of life, sexual abuse gives us a new mountain to climb. It wasn't that I didn't love my son or that I wasn't excited. To be frank, my fears were around having him pass through my vagina. It felt dirty and I had no idea how to manage these emotions. I went 2 weeks overdue with him and I have no doubt now that the fears I had played a big part in my body not feeling ready. I associated birth with fear, pain, and something horribly wrong. We can thank Hollywood for portraying birth as a horrific experience. When I arrived at the hospital, the one thing I was obsessively focused on was begging not to have a male doctor in the room. I felt afraid and incredibly panicked at the thought of a man touching me. The nurses seemed extremely unsympathetic of my feelings, and I felt so much shame for feeling scared. After many, many painful internal exams and interventions, 42 hours later, my boy was finally in my arms. The whole time, I was spoken down to, made to feel stupid with my feelings and fears. I can't recall one pleasant moment about my birth with him at all, apart from the moment I held him. I couldn't let him go. My fears washed away, but the guilt I felt for having those fears was overwhelming. The next few days were spent silently sobbing, whispering in his ear how sorry I was for being afraid of him. It is those moments that keep me resenting my abuser. I hate how deep his hands reach into my subconscious, even years after they stop touching me. Thanks to all the interventions, I ended up with a severe womb infection. I was eventually treated, but not before being ignored on several occasions, told repeatedly by a midwife that it was afterbirth pains and to stop being a drama queen while on the shower floor crying in agony and ending up on high doses of morphine when I was finally examined by a doctor. I was more at ease when I was pregnant with my daughter. The fear of having another child as a single parent was terrifying, but I was determined to have a more positive experience, knowing my body a little better. As I approached my due date, the midwives began planning an induction. I still had a fear of birth, but I had educated myself a lot more. I was more confident in my body's capacity to birth naturally, and I informed them I had no intention of being induced. On my due date, they started insisting on an induction again. I refused and told them I would return in a week for a review. 1 week overdue and Bub was fine. I was fine. The talk of induction started again and I refused once more. This time they got pushy. They told me that I wasn't thinking of my baby and that prolonging an induction was selfish. I was hurt but still felt strongly that I was fine. No woman had been pregnant forever. She would come when she was ready. At 42 weeks with me still refusing, the doctor refused to have me under his care anymore. He and two midwives were adamant that I had to be induced or my baby could die. I was alone and I felt terrified with the way that they spoke and acted towards me, but I felt so strongly about it that I stood my ground. The doctor became aggressive and refused to speak to me further, speaking with the midwives about me like I wasn't even in the room. He went on to say I couldn't birth at that hospital and he wouldn't speak to me again. Scolding me like a child, the midwives told me that I was putting my baby's life at risk and I needed to think about my actions. After some time, they informed me they would have to refer me to a larger hospital because I was now a high-risk pregnancy and agreed to let me continue my pregnancy, providing that I present daily for monitoring of the baby. I was happy to monitor her stats, and if she seemed distressed at all, I would have happily intervened. After leaving, I received a phone call from the larger hospital telling me I would need to go in for assessments and to book in for my birth. I told them I wasn't interested and was adamant on having my baby closer to home, given that I had a toddler at home. I can still hear the nastiness in the woman's voice when she snapped at me and told me she was notifying child protection because I was endangering my child's life. Endangering my child's life for not having a dangerous medical procedure? Okay. I was a mess, but stubbornly I set about learning about my rights. I found out that a hospital can't turn away a labouring woman. I made the decision to continue with the monitoring locally and planned to just turn up when labour started. Copping verbal abuse and during each daily visit, I persisted. I got to 43 weeks and was on the bed when the midwife sat down and started saying things weren't looking good for me. She gently told me that my daughter's life was at risk, that child protection can remove my other older child for risking my daughter's life. Despite my daughter's stats and my own obs being perfect, I crumbled. I agreed to be induced and she wouldn't even let me go home to pack. She arranged transport for me to be taken up to a larger hospital then and there. It was late afternoon and they told me it's easier for them to start with the gel. I was left alone in the room for ages before they inserted it and left me until they got me to a bed. That night, nothing happened. They demanded I sit on the birthing ball and I was left bouncing there for hours, alone, scared and deeply missing my son. Later that night, they put in more gel and informed me they'd break my waters in the morning. It was clear from this point that this was not my birth, it was theirs. I was woken pretty early and ushered around to the delivery suite to have my waters broken. With no birthing partner or support, apart from a friendly and sympathetic student midwife who kept popping in to check on me, I sat in that cold clinical room for the longest time. They insisted I be put on the drip to speed things up, and I agreed to an epidural later if the pain became too much to bear. They told me that the anesthetist wasn't available for long and I had to decide then and there. Unsure but frightened, I agreed to have it. The epidural had been administered in the wrong spot. It wasn't working at all and the pain became horrific. They increased the drip, telling me I wasn't progressing as fast as I should. I begged them to fix the epidural, but they kept telling me it was fine. The pain was nothing I had ever felt before. This wasn't like my son's labour at all. After a while, they told me I had to push. I thought back to when I had my son and the feeling I had when he was ready to come out. I didn't feel this. No urge to poo, no urge to push, no heaviness. I wasn't ready, yet they were growing increasingly impatient and started to yell at me that I had no choice. She was ready, apparently. One midwife yelled, "If you don't push, we will need to perform an episiotomy and pull her out." I started pushing and I didn't feel right. I knew I was going to tear. I tried to get up off my back to find a more comfortable position. They pushed me down on the bed, telling me because I had an epidural, I had to labour laying down. I tried to explain to them that it hadn't worked. I could feel everything and showed them I had full movement in my legs. They, about 5 staff members, forcibly held me down on the bed and told me it wasn't an option to get up. I asked if they could at least hold a washer at my perineum to help reduce the tearing. They declined. Instead, they pushed my knees further into my chest. My body was telling me not to push, but they told me if I didn't, they were sending me for a C-section. I began pushing with everything I had and the world and felt the world going dark. My blood pressure dropped and buzzers were alarmed. I can still see the nurse over my bed with the biggest needle I'd ever seen, ready to inject me God knows where. I gave another push and they assisted in pulling Munro out. I began bleeding heavily and suddenly I had a whole hand in my vagina to control the bleed. I lost a fair amount of blood and I heard them to tell surgery to be on standby. I had Munro on my chest and I truly thought I was going to pass away with my baby girl laying on me. My perfect baby girl was born healthy, covered in vernix. They declared on her paperwork that she was born at 39 weeks and I absolutely lost it, demanding that they write 43 weeks like they had been so abusively insisting. After I was stitched up, the fearful focus lifted and I went into shock and had a panic attack. After calming down, though still incredibly confused and overwhelmed, I was left to clean myself up in the shower and make my way back to my baby. After all that, left to my own devices to continue on with my life as though nothing had happened. Whisked back to my room and told to nurse my baby. No support, no comfort, no reassurance I was doing it right, all whilst I was replaying the abuse I had endured over and over. When I had my last baby, I made sure I was prepared. I prepared my body for birth for months. I was determined not to go overdue so I wouldn't live through that ordeal again. I arranged for 4 friends to come in with me while I birthed, determined to never be alone like that again. I had a strict birth plan and I was ready. Morrison came one day after his due date. I hate that word. I progressed naturally and fast. At our local hospital, my body did everything it had to. I felt amazing, but then my body started pushing on its own and that's when things turned sour. The nurses were telling me not to push and ignoring me when I told them I had no control over it. They insisted that my labour had stopped progressing and I wasn't dilated enough. I tried to trust my body, but they brought back all those birthing fears to the surface and I lost faith in myself. I agreed to go to the larger hospital, an hour's drive away. I didn't even make it 20 minutes down the road before I gave birth in the ambulance. I was so sad that once again, I had no one on my side with me, no one to hold my hand or help me through, and what felt like the perfect labour was thrown back in my face. Still strapped up to the ambulance bed, I had pulled myself as upright as I could to birth my beautiful boy. I cried that now I had no way of taking his photo as soon as he was born. One of the ambulance men climbed around and snapped one on his phone, the silver lining that I'm eternally grateful for. I had a big bleed in the back of the ambulance and Munro's birth came flashing back. I kept asking the nurse if the bleed was worse, terrified I would die. Thankfully, I was okay, and when I arrived at the hospital, I had a shock support crew that had raced up to support me there. Of all my births, my last was my least traumatic, but it cemented for me how disregarded women are when it comes to birthing. By default, our bodies have been intricately designed to birth on their own, just as they have done since the dawn of time, yet medical staff treat us like we have no bloody clue what we are doing or act like it's some dangerous procedure that needs to fit into their schedules. Poked and prodded at, cut, torn, stitched and injected. Because of Munro's birth being so forceful, I am left with a lot of damage that will one day need surgery to correct. If I have this surgery, they have told me I will never birth naturally again. So while I wrangle with that decision, I am left with a lot of pain and discomfort, a constant reminder of those experiences. If I was to ever birth again, I wouldn't step a foot near the hospital and would birth at home. Without fear, surrounded by proper support and trusting my body's natural ability to birth my child safely. If it is absolutely no wonder home births are becoming increasingly popular. My heart goes out to mothers that have been so violated and robbed of what should be the most magical experience of their life. I will spend the rest of my days trying to empower women to trust their bodies and know that birth can be just that, magical, It is all I can do. It is all I can do not to run up to pregnant strangers in the street and start preaching. Fuck, I don't know if I read that part out right. I don't have my glasses on, so bear with me. It's time to reclaim our bodily autonomy and rights as women to birth without fear. Not every birth is complicated and needing interventions. So why is every birth treated as such? God, that was a fucking mouthful for me to get out that time. I don't know what's wrong with me. Sorry about that one. So obviously I wrote that a few years ago. I've now had my surgery, which was a brutal and interesting experience in itself. But if I was to rewrite that blog, I probably would dive more into those births, into those births and experiences as well. But it's I feel very robbed in my births. I feel very robbed of situations that I'd like to have, and I'm very envious of women. Like, obviously, as I've evolved and grown, the pages that I follow now talk about positive birth stories and share their positive birth stories, and I feel very envious of the women that get to have that experience, because, you know, it's pretty concrete now. I've had that surgery. No matter what, I will never get to have that experience. I'll never get to have a positive birth experience the way that I want. So it's hard to wrangle with that. It's hard to accept that. And it's, you know, I was speaking with one of my friends just before, and she's somebody that I'd like to have when I dive into birth trauma again, and the experiences that she's had, because she had said so many women, you know, we don't realize that we've had a traumatic birth. We don't realize that we have a right to feel traumatized. And it wasn't until she'd had conversations with my sister and then I'd written this blog and we deep dived into it that she realized how much trauma she carried from her births, the intervention that was, you know, put into her births, and how horrific the procedure can be. And we are so conditioned as women and as a society to think that's normal, and it really isn't. Like, I know, I vividly can remember, you know, any memory I have early on in life about birth is seeing a woman in a Hollywood movie sweating, laying on her back, feet up in the stirrups, screaming, "Oh, I'm never doing this again, I'm dying," screaming at her husband. Like, that is the only thing that was portrayed to me growing up. That's what birth looked like. So, of course, we're going in believing that birth is this scary, traumatic, overwhelming experience, and we're not going to have a pleasant birth. And then we go into these systems where they do make our births extremely traumatic. Whereas birth should be viewed as, you know, this beautiful, amazing, calm and peaceful experience, because it can be that. It can be. If we're not going in and we're not walking into things with fear, you know, we can have a lighter experience. And I can vividly remember my sister. She's a postpartum doula now, but she was a birth doula when I had my first and second child. And she would often say, like, what was it? Oh, tight lips, tight vagina. Like, if you're, like, you know, feeling in this, like, tight, angry, afraid state, you're going to have a tight, angry, afraid vagina. And the baby isn't going to come out easy. And you are going to need intervention. But we also, like, the hospital system is designed to fit into their schedule. As soon as you walk through that hospital, your birth is dependent on their schedule. They will intervene as they feel necessary to work what works best for them. You know, oh, you're considering an epidural. Well, you'll have it now or you won't have it at all because our anesthesiologist is busy or wants to do, is that the word? Anyway, fuck, I just said I couldn't say it before. Whatever. Anyway, you've got to do it for their schedule, or, you know, the doctor needs to examine you now. The doctor's off soon, or, you know, there's going to be a changeover of staff. Like, it's all to fit in their schedule, which is incredibly fucking frustrating and unnecessary. And women don't realize their rights in that situation. Like, you have more rights than what you're led to believe in that hospital. And if you don't know what a doula is, you know, they're there, again, I'll interview one on a separate day, but they're there to assist with your birth and ensure that you have the birth that you want, so they can be your voice during birth. Because this is where so many of us will come in and we'll go, you know, I don't want pain medication, I don't want this, and I, you know, I'd like to have a water birth. And then the midwives start coming in and barking at you. And in my experience, fucking a nice midwife is few and far between. You know, I've had three births. I've been in the hospital for days and days with infections during those births, and I've rarely met a fucking nice one. They're all so harsh and cold and should not be in that practice at all. And so they're coming in, no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And when you're in that moment of like exhaustion and pain and overwhelmingness, you're just like, okay, whatever, like you just do what they tell you to do. Whereas when you have a doula there, they can assist in you getting the birth that you want to have and be your voice. But I think a lot of women don't realize that they have a right, they don't understand those feelings around trauma and those experiences. And I often wonder if postpartum depression is actually tied in to a traumatic birth experience. And you know, perhaps it's, I mean, there'd be many factors into postpartum depression. But I think, you know, if you've gone in and you've had this overwhelming experience that has been invalidated and your body is in this state of shock, you're going to be a bit of a mess for a while. Like, I won't go too much into it right now, but one thing that I can like sort of compare with or think about is, you know, a few years back, I was unfortunately one of the witnesses that there were two women that were killed. And that scene was horrific. The whole experience was horrific, right? And I've spoken with the detective now because this has been something like I had to be a witness and it's gone on for a couple of years. Anyway, and I was speaking with the detective the other day and, you know, how it was a really fuck situation and the outcome, you know, there's no winners. Like, it's just a fucking horrible situation. But he said that a few of the police officers that were there that night, they quit. That was too much for them. That was like a traumatizing experience. They couldn't function after that experience. So I wonder if when women are walking around, you know, in a days after, weeks after, months after they have their babies, I mean, there'd be many factors. Obviously, you've suddenly, you know, got this new human you've got to look after. But if they're going through this traumatic experience that's never validated, that's never supported, that's never nurtured, that they're never assisted through, maybe that's why they're walking around with postpartum depression. They've just been through this fucking traumatic experience and told, okay, get on with life now. Because this is what we do. We sit there in a daze and people will say, well, you've got a healthy baby. Did you have a healthy baby? Well, that's all that matters. You got a healthy baby, right? So get over it. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. If you've got a healthy baby, that's all that matters. Well, no, it's not all that fucking matters. The woman's feelings matter. The mother's feelings matter. Like, you can't go through a traumatic event. If there was anything else that happened to someone, they'd be supported. People would understand. They would validate their feelings and be like, God, that's a really fucking heavy thing for you to have lived through and endured and seen. And if you've got fucking... you're put into a hospital and you're pushed down on your back and you've got, you know, from a young age, we're told private parts, no one looks at our private parts, only your partner, like private. And then all of a sudden you're on a bed and, you know, there's no discretion. They'll rip the blankets off as they please. People will rip the curtains open and come in while your fucking vagina is out, your bum hole is out for everyone to see. They'll come and poke it, prod it. Oh, I just need to check, stick some fingers in, fingers there. And, you know, let me spread it open. Let me stick this in. Let me fucking stick this little fucking probe up there to drill into your fucking baby's head. Like, what? Like, what? We're just told. And then afterwards, when this fucking baby's ripped out of us and we've bled and we've been, you know, we might have torn or been cut open and then stitched up. And they're like, here you go. Here's the baby on your chest. Get on with it. Feed the baby. What are you doing? Baby needs breastfeeding. All right. Come on, get up. Have a shower. Come on, you've had your baby. It's time to get up and clean yourself up now. Like, waddle to the fucking shower while you're in there, like, shaking and still fucking trembling and, you know, in this state of like, oh, my God, I have a baby now. Like, oh, isn't it cute, beautiful? What happened? Oh, my boobs, my vagina, I'm bleeding. My bum hole hurts. Like, it's a fucking lot. It is a lot when you're having these bullshit hospital births that is so traumatic for women and they're... nobody acknowledges that. Like, we are not having enough conversations around birth trauma. We are not acknowledging that women are going through that, and it's just such a big thing. And I cop it all the time when I spoke about when I did this blog, and then I've spoke about my surgery now that I've had it. You know, they're like, oh, get over it. Like, get on with it. Every woman has a baby. Like, oh, you think you're special? Well, no, I don't. But I'm allowed to feel fucking traumatized with the experiences that I went through in my very fucking private area that I already have so many issues with after being sexually abused as a child. Like, it's a fucking traumatizing thing. And people can't, when you've gone through sexual abuse, a lot of people won't acknowledge and recognize, you know, how traumatic that is through many stages of your life, especially when it comes to being pregnant and having babies. But they'll just be like, oh, well, you've had sex, you got pregnant, so get over it. Well, yeah, I consented and I chose who was looking at and touching my vagina. It wasn't just everyone coming in because they're, you know, and we're supposed to accept it because it's staff, that's their job. And the amount of like disrespect and judgment I've received because I didn't want males in that situation, like I'm some sexist pig, like I'm sorry, I'll die on this hill. Okay, there are probably incredible, and I'm not saying that they're bad people, there are incredible men that, you know, that would be doctors, that would be whatever, but I will die on the hill if it is a weird thing to me. It is a weird thing that a man goes, oh, fuck, I'd love to fucking deliver babies and sew vaginas up afterwards. God, I'd love to do that. Or I'd love to be a gynecologist. Like, I don't care. That's fucking weird. It's weird. Like, it just should be a predominantly woman thing. That can be sexist if you like, but they don't have our parts. You can't nurture a part that you don't actually own or haven't experienced. Like, I'm going all over the shop here, I know, because there's just so much that I am trying to get out about that thing, but it shouldn't. The way birth for me, and if I could do it again, I would absolutely do it at home. I would do it, you know, with a group of beautiful, supportive women. And I really think that's biologically what would happen. That's what we should have happen is, you know, our aunties and our mothers and our grandmothers and our, you know, sisters and our cousins, you know, we would have this beautiful circle of women, you know, supporting us through that process and helping us through that. And it should be something that's celebrated and honored and done at our body's pace, not pushing our bodies to the finish line, allowing our bodies to do what they are biologically designed to do and allowing them to progress as necessary. Now, before anyone wants to twist it, I understand, you know, things would go wrong. Things go wrong. And sometimes intervention would need to happen, but not at the rate that it happens. The intervention does not need to happen at the rate that it happens. And maybe we tell ourselves, you know, oh, I would have died without that. Well, how do you know that? Would you? Because did you allow, like, was your body allowed to do X, Y, Z first? Like, you know, in the end, I needed intervention with Munro, but I was also induced. Like, no one's been pregnant forever. Eventually, I would have gone into labor with her, you know, and I wish I could go back and really wholeheartedly stand my ground in not being induced with her, because that's where the intervention come from. You do one intervention and then that needs another intervention and then that needs another intervention. I should have been allowed to go into labor naturally. And for them to turn around and say, oh, she was born, you know, at 39 weeks and she's full of vernix, like, that was so offensive to me with how horrific they were to me, saying she was going to die, she was going to drop dead in my stomach because I wasn't birthing her, and then going, oh, yeah, oh, okay, maybe we got it wrong, 39 weeks. Like, that was infuriating. To tell a mother that they're killing their child and you're going to fuck it, and literally did report me to child protection and, you know, have me in fear of losing my children for doing the most natural thing on earth, growing a baby. Like, it was fucking cruel. It was a cruel, cruel system. And I'm really irritated by that. I'm really irritated with Morrison's birth. I'm really glad that I went naturally with him. Like, that was an amazing experience. My waters broke at my sister's, which was funny because she said, I think it was a week or 2 weeks beforehand, she's like, you better not fucking break your waters on my floor or whatever. And I was standing at her kitchen sink, thankfully, because I'd been on the carpet before that. So thankfully I'd walked over and I was standing on her kitchen sink where the wooden floor was, and I just feel this pop and this water trickle down, and I wasn't wearing underwear. And I was like, oh my God, and I'm standing there like cupping myself, trying to hold all this fluid in. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, my water's breaking. Like, it was so, you know, third child in, and I finally got that experience. And sat on the toilet, and it was so weird for me because, again, in movies, you know, your water breaks and it's sudden pain and it's fucking frantic. But I was sitting on the toilet because I had to wait for my mum to go and get me underwear now and a pad because I didn't have underwear. And I'm sitting on the toilet and I'm freaking out. I'm going to my sister. I'm like, oh my God, this is exciting. But then I'm like, wait, it's going to hurt. Why isn't it hurting? It's not hurting yet. What's happening? It's not hurting. And she's like, just allow it to happen, mate. What the fuck are you on about? And I still didn't realize that, oh, our water can break and then it can be a long time before we are getting these surges and contractions. Like, yeah, that was mind-blowing for me, but that was a beautiful experience. I'm grateful for that, but I'm very, very annoyed that I didn't trust my body and I got into that ambulance and I didn't stay put in that birthing pool because it progressed so fast. And again, like I read out of that blog, like my body was pushing on its own. Like I was making these noises I'd never made in any of my births. Like I was just laying in the pool and all of a sudden, you know, I'd be getting these surges and then I'd be like, like it was this deep grunting. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I'm not pushing. Cause they're like, stop pushing. And I'm like trying to scream at my sister being like, it's doing it on its own. I don't understand. Is this normal? Is this what birth is? Like, I'm not doing that. I promise. And so they were getting so frustrated. And you know why I went into labor with Hendrix for so long. I was in labor 42 hours. I got to 7 centimeters and I didn't progress. And I think that was because of fear. I really do believe that was because of like being afraid and, you know, being roused at because I didn't want a male doctor in and, you know, being treated like shit by the midwives. And I didn't progress. So at Maxwell Hospital when I was having Morrison, you know, they turned around and they go, you're at 7 centimeters, you're not progressing. It had only been a couple of hours. But as soon as I heard that 7 centimeters, the fear set in. Like I was like, fuck, I can't do another 42-hour labor. Like that was horrendous. I cannot do it for that long again. And my sister's like, just trust your body. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like I was getting scared because they're like, if you don't go to patient transport now, it's going to be hours and you're not going to be able to do this. And like, you know, doing all those fear tactics again to work on their schedule. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and I'm trying to get out of the fucking pool and my body like was obviously in that very heavy transitional state where we fucking shouldn't be moving. Like we're about to have things happening, but I just got so scared. I got strapped down on the bed and, yeah, he came and they were going to pull over. They're like, oh, the baby's coming. And then he come out and then the placenta flew out and that's when blood went all through the back of the ambulance. It literally looked like a murder scene. And, yeah, so then they were like, no, don't pull over, go, just get to the hospital. So then I'm freaking out because, again, I'm on my own. All I wanted was a support system because I didn't have it with Munro. And this time I'm on my own again with a midwife. No one to take videos and photos like I desperately fucking wanted, thinking I'm going to bleed out and die in the back of an ambulance, like holding my child. Like it would, it's fucked. I wish I could go back and do it again, but I can't. But this is why I want to have these conversations. I want women to understand that they have rights. They don't have to do what the fucking hospital is telling them. Fucking boycott the hospitals. Like birth your babies, the comfort of your own home. Like let's normalize healthy, beautiful home births because they're not a scary fucking medical procedure. Like we're so convinced that it's, oh God, get to a hospital, we're having a baby, fucking birth it at home. Like it can happen. It can be supported. Like reclaim your fucking birth. Reclaim your womanhood. You've got the power to do so. And I hope that my stories can help other women feel confident and understand that you don't have to fucking do what the hospital's saying. It can end up really wrong when you're doing it. It doesn't have to be that way. You can have a beautiful birth. But yeah, so because of Munro's birth and pushing when I was not supposed to push and being physically pushed down on a bed, held down, and what felt like I was being raped, I tore badly because of that. You know, I wore a lot of damage and then after I had Morrison, you know, it amplified that. And I was never sewn up correctly after I had Munro either. Like there are so many factors that go into it and, you know, this hospital that I birthed them at is so notorious for having really bad birth and getting things very, very fucking wrong. But it was a huge fucking, a huge experience to go through and very, very, that was the most traumatic birth I've been through because of not just all the interventions and how it all happened, but bringing up all of those childhood wounds. Like if you've got fucking, you're literally being held down on a bed while people are grabbing at your vagina. That's a fucking head fuck and a half to go through after you've been sexually abused as a child. Like it's just fucked. And, you know, I'm very angry at the damage that I've taken on from that. And I hadn't even realized how bad the damage was. Like, I would just, you know, you're told, get on with it, you know, everything changes after birth, like whatever. And I had a lot of issues after Munro's birth with like incontinence and pain and discomfort, and also not being able to have proper bowel movements. And I just thought there was something wrong. I never associated a birth. I was thinking, oh, I must have something wrong with my bowels or the way that I shit. Like I was always constipated. I could never, it never felt like I got it all out. And I just thought there was something wrong with my digestive system. And I didn't realize that when we have, because I ended up finding out later on that I had a prolapse, and that can, you know, the pressure in your vagina is leaning on, and, you know, you're not being able to empty out your bowels, and that's because of that trauma down in that area, which I didn't realize. But yeah, so for years I'd walked around with like feeling like I felt different and feeling like all these issues. And I had been to doctors, you know, you've got your checkup and stuff like that, and they, oh, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with it, like there's nothing wrong with it, you're fine. And then I finally went to a really good gynecologist, a female gynecologist, and she took one look and she said, Sarah, you poor thing, I don't know how you've been walking around like this, like no wonder you're feeling all these feelings, like feeling open and exposed and, you know, pressure and all this stuff. She said, you've torn really badly. You were never sewn up correctly. Like, what happened? I told her, and she was nearly in tears. Like, it was just fucking brutal. So I first had my consultation with her, and she had told me then, you know, if you have this surgery, and this is obviously I've wrote this post after this, she said, if you have this surgery, you will not be able to birth naturally again. You have to be done having children. And I didn't feel done. I wasn't. I always felt very adamant that I wanted four children. I knew in my heart it was going to be boy, girl, boy, girl. And, you know, I got my girl name picked, all of this stuff. Like, I was very, very adamant that's what was going to happen. But I said, look, because I've got other issues, it's PCOS, and I can never say the name correctly. It's like endometriosis, but it's like, but the only cure really is a hysterectomy and stuff. So because of those issues, she said that I was eligible to get some assistance through IVF. And I had said to her, I don't think that I'm done with kids yet. I said, let's wait. Let me wait like a year. If I haven't met anybody in that year, I'll look into IVF and I'll really consider that, because I feel like I want one more before I have this surgery. And that happened to be the time that, you know, we're crossing stories here now with the other woman story of when I met fucking dickhead Dave. And I was like, oh, I need to see what's happening. I was getting near, when I met him, I was getting near the point of exploring IVF. And I met him and I'm like, okay, well, I can't just, you know, what's happening here? We might be starting a relationship. I can't just go and get IVF with another man and, you know, having another baby. Like, I need to explore what's happening. And next thing I know, it's been four fucking years. I've wasted my fucking time. I missed my opportunity to explore having another child, because I am getting older and I didn't want to have a child too old. And this, I full-term breastfeed. I didn't want to be breastfeeding for years. And, you know, now there's huge age gaps between my kids. And this is no judgment, by the way, to anybody that has children older or huge age gaps. I'm just like, I'm trying to be a realist in my situation of I'm on my own. We went through homelessness. We're fucking financially struggling. Like, it would be silly of me to turn around and have a baby now. You know, if I was able to buy a house, you know, I would have done that. I would have still pursued and gone ahead and had that baby. But I got to the point where I was living with all this pain and uncomfortableness, and I just went, okay, I'm going to have this surgery. Like, obviously that ship has sailed for me, as hard and as upsetting as it is to acknowledge that. So I had this, I agreed, I had this surgery, and we, like, I think the surgery was cancelled, was it two or three times, which was really hard for me to go through as well. And it was, I think it was COVID, like, you know, there were staff were off with COVID, I think, at one stage, and then they needed the hospital for, you know, they were saying there were too many people in with COVID or fucking whatever it was. So the surgery ended up being cancelled a few times, and then that was traumatic in itself for me, because to have the surgery, I was feeling very overwhelmed. Again, all the triggers of my sexual abuse as a child were coming back, because somebody was going to be in my private parts. I was going to be unconscious while they were doing that. Not just one person. There's obviously going to be a room full of people in the area at the back to, you know, monitoring you. And, you know, we're not just talking one person privately. Like, it's a daunting experience to go through after you've been through, like, for anyone anyway, but especially after you've been through sexual abuse. So I'm trying, each time I'd psych myself up, you know, and one time it got cancelled the night before. And it was just like, fuck, like I was in this state of fucking anxiety the whole time. Like, it was so fucking hard. And then I finally got my surgery and that went okay. And then we had issues for those that have followed along on my social media. And again, a lot of people try to use this against me when they're spewing out hateful things online. I was in a room on my own and then they were going to move me, which is fair enough. But they were going to move me to another room where there were men in the room as well. And I didn't want that. I was overwhelmed. I said, if that's okay, I'll go home. Like, I'm happy to go home. I'm not trying to be here. I'm not trying to be a burden. But I do not want to be in a shared room with men on the same ward. I don't feel comfortable with a man laying in the hospital bed next to me. You've only got that tiny little fucking curtain screen. Everyone can hear everything anyway. I don't want people coming in and doing my checking because I still had the packing in my vagina and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want that. That's overwhelming to me. Like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go home and recover. Like, please let me go home and recover. And people were making out like I was being this fucking fuss pot. And then I didn't want, they had a male nurse on. So I'd had female nurses. And the night, it was a nighttime, I think. And there was a male nurse and a female nurse. And I'd spoke and I was like, oh, could I please have the female nurse instead? So then they did a changeover. They were really understanding. They were like, yeah, that's fine. Like, completely understandable because, again, I had fucking bandaging in my vagina. They were having to check it. I wasn't comfortable with that. It made me feel scared and afraid and memory and reminded of all this abuse, like all these feelings, which are valid. These are valid feelings to have. And then the next day there were female nurses but also a male nurse, and he kept coming in, and I said, look, can you guys just swap over? Can I please have the female nurse? I'm really not comfortable. Like, it's overwhelming for me. And there was this big fucking huge hoo-ha. There was a blow up that, you know, people are carrying on that I'm being fucking ridiculous. And then this is where a lot of the trolling has come in. Or she didn't want a male. Male nurses are just as amazing. They are. Male nurses are incredible. Like, males are amazing. I'm not fucking some woman hater. I didn't want a male nurse looking at my private parts, touching me when I felt in a very vulnerable situation, when I'm naked from the waist down. I didn't want that. And I, as a human, I have a right to not have that happen. Like, no, it's, oh, anyway, the fact that people can argue that that's a fucking ridiculous thing just blows my fucking mind. So again, I was like, I'd rather go home. Like, it ended up being this whole kickoff, a fucking nurse start, or not a nurse, but what was she, a nun or whatever she was of the thingo. Like, by the way, I put in complaints about that. None of that was ever followed up. She literally pushed me into the wall. Like, it was a fucking big blow up. They called security. So then I had men standing over my fucking bed. Like, and then my doctor, the gynecologist, finally come in and she's like, what the fuck? She was like blown away. She come to my defense, thankfully, and fucking leapt to my defense, and she was incredible. And then, you know, I'd been live streaming a lot during that and had spoken about what happened, and the hospital had fucking immediately, they'd been watching the live streams, and this big fucking head of whatever, Coffs Hospital, comes in and she's like, oh, you can't, like, what have you been discussing? And I'm like, the truth, my experience, what I fucking went through, like, what are you fucking talking about? Yeah, so then they changed their tune from that once they realised I was live streaming everything, and then suddenly I was allowed to be in a room with no fucking men. Big fucking change of heart. But yeah, it was pretty fucking brutal. And there's not enough support, or there's not enough acknowledgement on how much that can impact people. I think nurses need a big fucking training in people that have been sexually abused and how they might feel in recovering from those situations as well. So there's huge in, needs to be an overhaul in the birthing system, and there needs to be an overhaul in recoveries for birth traumas and surgeries that are associated with that. Because I got, I think in that whole experience, one or two sympathetic nurses. The rest were just like judgmental cunts. Like, oh my God, you're disgusting. Like, you've obviously had sex and people have touched a vagina and now you're going to whinge that someone's touching you. Yeah, I am going to fucking whinge about that. Like, I should have control who's looking and touching my vagina. I feel very overwhelmed. And FYI, I don't even fucking let everyone look and touch my vagina that I've been with, that I've been intimate with. Like, often when I've been intimate with people, like, it's in the dark and it's very controlled, and it's not very often that I've felt comfortable enough to let them, you know, look and touch and feel however they like, because I'm very overwhelmed in that fucking situation. That can be another conversation for another day. But yeah, so with the surgery, I guess I'll have to compile a list of questions and we can retouch on that again as well. But a lot of people have asked how the recovery is going, and it's gone well. I was supposed to go back to the physio, pelvic floor physio, and I just haven't. I've just been overwhelmed. Again, when you go there, she sticks her hand up there and it's just overwhelming. The whole thing's overwhelming. So my mental health hasn't been good. I've made no secret of that the last year, but a few months especially. So yeah, I haven't gone back to her. I need to go back. I still feel maybe things aren't completely right, but maybe that will be fixed up with other, because there's like little weights that she wants me to have at some stage and stuff. So maybe it'll feel better after that. But I haven't even looked down there. I had the surgery, when was it? I think it was April. And I still haven't even looked down there. Like, I don't know. I can't bring myself to look. Like, it's an overwhelming experience. And I definitely haven't had, you know what. So I'm curious to know, when I do have sex, how that's going to feel, if it's going to hurt. Like, I think I'll be scared having it for the first time. But I haven't done it for fucking years anyway, so I probably really am a born-again virgin, which is surprising to some people that have gone on, like when I've spoken about the affair. You can do things with people that don't involve a penis and a vagina. Like, we're intimate with each other, but we never had, like, yeah. So anyway, moving on from that. so, I haven't done things for a long time, so... it'll be interesting when I finally do feel ready to do that, if it's going to hurt, if it feels normal again, if it's completely different. But I just can't be bothered to do it with anyone or find anyone to do anything. I'm busy anyway. Like, I'm a mum of fucking three. Like, I'm busy. It's the least of my priorities. But I also, like, I just don't want to let anyone there that doesn't deserve to anymore. Like, I'm done. Like, no one gets to fucking touch me ever again. Unless you're fucking amazing and I can see myself marrying you. Like, I just don't want to do it anymore. But yeah, the surgery in itself went well. She was happy with the progress. The stitches all healed fine and everything like that. So that was good. There's definitely a huge improvement. Like, I can empty my bowels properly now. Like, that's mind-blowing to me when I go to the toilet and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like all my poop is out. Like, it's craziness. So if you have had a child and you feel pressure down there, or it's hard for you to empty your bowels, or you're, you know, constipated all the time, or things just feel different, I would really recommend, you know, finding a good gynecologist and getting thoroughly examined, because, you know, perhaps you do have some form of prolapse or trauma that's happening down there. But yeah, the recovery from that was pretty intense. It wasn't... Look, there was definitely physical pain, but it was more for me a mental thing, and I definitely strained myself too much. Like, if you're going to have that type of surgery, you really need to make sure that you have support. I didn't have a lot of support, and, you know, I've had to pick up Morrison earlier than what I should have. Like, you know, you're not supposed to lift a certain amount of weight after things like that. So I definitely put too much strain on my body. I was definitely forced to get up and do things a lot sooner. But, yeah, you just really have to have a good support network by you. I did get a couple of weeks rest. I was very, very lucky. My sister organized a meal train. So I had people make meals for me, which was a godsend. I had people, you know, buy Woolies shopping things so the kids would have snacks to snack on. And there were, you know, some beautiful things like that. But really, that type of surgery, you need... you know, some big set of hands, extra help in the home for a good 6 weeks. And I unfortunately couldn't have that being a single mum. But yeah, I'm glad I did the surgery. I wish it wasn't as fucking traumatic as it was. And I shouldn't have fucking needed it, but that is what it is. But yeah, but I am coming up to needing to leave the house to go and get my nose. So I'm going to leave this here again. I will touch more on birth trauma later. I definitely will share more about my births. I'll definitely share more about the ins and outs of the surgery. So if you have very specific questions you want to know, let me know how that comes out. I'll definitely make sure I can get a doula to come and speak as well. And I'll have some other stories from other mamas that have gone through birth trauma, because it's just validating when we hear these stories to know we're not alone or had a similar experience. And you might go, fuck, that was like my birth. I didn't even realize, you know, and now, oh my God, I can see why I felt miserable or sad or scared or fucking whatever afterwards, because I was fucking traumatized, you know, and I should have been fucking supported. And yeah, I think this is definitely conversations that need to happen far more frequently. So again, if you've had a very traumatic birth and you feel like at some stage you'd like to talk on a podcast, shoot me a message and let me know, and I'll make sure that I save your details to the side, and let's start to have these healthy conversations. And, you know, even if you've had a birth that's beautiful, if you haven't had a traumatic birth, and you had a home birth, or even if you did go to hospital, but you had a birth that you were in control of, you know, let me know as well. Let's hear those stories and let's find out how women got those experiences. What did you do? What did you do in the lead up? How did you ensure that you had the birth that you wanted to do? Like, let's get those conversations out so women can take notes, and women that will be having babies can go, fuck, okay, I know what I need to do now. This is my plan, because I'm having the birth how I want. I'm going to, you know, reclaim my body and my birth and hold that power. But yeah, anyway, if you've been through birth trauma, you know, please let this be your validation all the times you've been invalidated. Like, I see you, I feel for you, and you know, it's just because you have a healthy baby, that doesn't mean that you didn't go through fucking hell, and you are very justified in feeling emotional, scared, afraid, traumatized, depressed, disappointed, angry, frustrated. All of those feelings are normal and natural, and you have every right to feel that level of fucking sadness for the birth you didn't get. You're allowed to mourn the birth that you didn't get, even though you have a healthy baby. Yes, you got a healthy baby. We're all very lucky when we've had healthy babies, but you're still validated in your feelings of feeling very upset for the birth that you didn't get. And also, though, when we have our healthy babies, Hendrix was actually in special care for 2 days when he was born, and he was born with fluid on his lungs, no doubt from all the interventions and the amount of internals that I had. So, yeah, he ended up being healthy, but there were issues like that, which are medically in-fucking-juiced. But anyway. Well, thank you all for listening again. This one probably was a bit of a ramble as well. Anyway, I'm off to go and get Munro and fucking run around frazzled. I've got nothing done today. No housework. Christmas is coming up. I was meant to go and buy stuff. I don't know what I'm fucking doing. I'm completely winging life at the moment. But I appreciate all of you that have continued to listen, and make sure you do subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or go and do it on all of them, whatever. Go and like it. Leave me reviews. Boost it up there. I got an email sent through that I was number 7 in Australia through Apple on the podcasts and journals. So that would be really cool if in a month we suddenly got it to fucking number 3, even ideally 1. How cool would that be? But anyway, I just appreciate you guys listening, and I'm just excited to just get this out there and let people hear more about me and be able to touch on these subjects that so many people steer away from. So thank you to everybody that continually sent love. Make sure you, if you have things that you want me to talk about, let me know. If you've got specific questions about birth trauma, birthing, the surgery that I went through, all of that, send that through. You can contact me. There's a contact me part on my website. You know, I shoot a message on Instagram. I'm really hard at getting back to them, but we always try and get through and note as many as we can. Or on one of the devices, you can leave a comment on, maybe it's Spotify. You can leave a comment, because I see some of those comments, I think. But anyway, but make sure you reach out, get in touch. Let me know your questions. Let me know what you want to hear. And let me know if you have an experience that you feel that you really, really want to share at some stage. So have a beautiful morning, afternoon, evening, night, whatever it is, wherever you are. If you're listening to this in the lead up to Christmas, I hope that you are getting sorted and you're not as frazzled as me. If you're listening to it after, I hope you had a good Christmas. But anyway, I will talk to you all and pop out another one next Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe and stay up to date so you can get the next one. All right, see you guys. Thank you all for listening to my podcast. Make sure you are following all of my socials. We've got Instagram with Sarah Mills_AmongstTheStars. TikTok is Sarah Mills_ATS1 for now. Who knows until we get that one banned. YouTube is probably Sarah Mills Amongst the Stars as well. I don't know. Find a link tree. They'll all be in there. Thanks, guys.